Welcome to the Punk Rock MBA Podcast.
What's up, everybody? I am Finn McKenty. This is the Punk Rock MBA Podcast. Today's guest is Michael from Brokenside. Yes, Brokenside. You remember them, the guys that had that song back in 2008, that Get Freaky song. Let's Get Freaky Now. You saw it. Everyone made fun of it. But you know what? The truth is, they were ahead of their time. They predicted this whole like screaming emo rap thing by a good solid decade. They were doing the whole scene kids with colored hair screaming and rapping thing in 2007. My friends. Now, obviously, they got a lot of shit, but I'm happy to say that the tide has started to turn a little bit. I think that they are starting to get a little bit of the respect that they deserve, and I'm really happy to get him on to talk about their journey from being these basically weird kids from New Mexico that didn't fit in anywhere, making this bizarre music that nobody had ever thought of before, to ending up on TRL of all places, making the song that millions and millions and millions of people heard all over the world, inventing one of the most pioneering a genre that would go on to be one of the most important developments in alternative music, I would say, of the past 10 years. Super interesting stuff. Really happy to have him on the show. Very excited to share this. Before I get into that, let me remind you, there are three ways that you can support the show if you would like to. Number one, the most helpful thing that you can do is just share it. Share it on social media, on Instagram or Facebook or Twitter or whichever ones you want to use. I guess if you want to make a TikTok about it, you could. Probably not going to be a very popular TikTok talking about a podcast, but you know what? Try it. Let's see what happens. Share it on social media. Please tag me and the guest and Deanna. Number two, you can buy some merch if you want. There is a link to our merch store in the show notes. And number three, if you really, really, really like us, you can support us on Patreon. There's a link to that in the show notes as well. Patrons get every show a week early. There's an opportunity to have me review your band or podcast or YouTube channel or anything else that you want to send my way. So if that sounds cool, you can check that out at the link in the show notes. And as always, I would love to thank our producer and editor, Deanna Chapman. She is the one who makes all this happen. If you have a podcast that you want to get off the ground, or maybe you're already doing a podcast and you just want to do it bigger and better, then you should definitely get in touch with her. There's a link to her information in the show notes as well. And with that out of the way, let's get into the show. Happy Thursday, reporting live from the plague.
Yeah.
You holding it down over there in Albuquerque?
Yeah, we're holding it down with some coronas to hold down the virus.
All right. Well, I guess the first question I wanted to ask you, which is I think the one everybody wants to know, is like, how do you feel, you know, when you see people now doing like scene kids with colored hair screaming and rapping, when everybody said you guys were crazy for doing it and laughed at it, but now 12 years later, how do you feel when you see that stuff?
It ignites like a double-edged sword in me, because like I'm very fucking happy that, you know, we paved the way for a lot of new artists, because I don't think really anybody knows the shit we had to put up with in order to kind of like get to this point. Because just like you said, people thought we were fucking crazy, but you know, we were just ahead of the game. And it wasn't being ahead of the game, we were just trying to be ourselves and break the monotony of like what was. And like, we were always the oddballs, so we were always trying to, you know, push barriers and be rebels in a way. So we were like, fuck it, let's mix these two. We love them both.
Yeah, I mean, I think oddballs is a good way to put it. That even within other kind of, well, I mean, there really wasn't anybody in your genre, really. There was a couple people, like, doing sort of similar stuff. Like, you know, there was, like, Dropping a Pop Locket and that kind of stuff, but, like, there really wasn't anybody else. So, but I mean, I guess within the larger Warped Tour kind of world, like even those people didn't accept you guys.
I don't know, man. Like, I was listening to Melissa's podcast with you and she nailed it. Like, they put us on like the punk rock stage. I mean, I get it. I mean, like, although punk people don't see it this way, we were rebel motherfuckers breaking barriers and we didn't give a fuck. So, I mean, like, that's the whole lifestyle of being different, breaking barriers and not following, you know, the normality of what was. And whether they liked it or not, I think we lived that lifestyle and we lived it well, and it kind of sucked, but tough skin, you could just get stronger and move forward. Like, and we didn't really care. I did at a moment because I'm human, but got past it right away because we got so much of it. And we knew who we were. We were just some like ghetto kids that made it and like just kept going with it.
Well, there's a lot of things I want to ask you about there and what you said, but that's one thing in particular I wanted to kind of touch on. I remember a lot of people at the time, like when the Freaks video came out, you know, you guys had already been around for a while, but that was when it kind of exploded. And I remember a lot of people like saying you guys were like rich white kids from the suburbs. And it was obvious to me that that was not the case. How do you feel like, I mean, I just wonder, like, are you people blind? Like,
right. Yeah, no, it's just, you know, people see what they get and like they make judgments right away. We're humans. We don't really think, but like makes us feel better, I guess, to judge at times. But like the whole Freaks video, like the whole thing, we didn't come up with that. We were just on tour and like these college kids like threw it to, you know, management and it trickled down because we were going to be in Florida. And then right after that, we found out we were doing, you know, MTV, TRL. So it was like,
oh, that's right. I forgot about that.
Yeah, it was a lot going on. So like, these college kids, you know, said, hey, come to this mansion. And while it was a mansion, it was their parents' home and they had a green screen. They were doing, you know, videos in college. So that's how Freaks happened. It was just like one night we played and, you know, we're told to go to these people's house to shoot a video. And we were like, okay. But we showed up and we were just, you know, since the whole bright thing, we were like, everybody's dark and screaming and shit. Like, so let's be the opposite and be very bright and like, because our music is out there and just like very, you know, vibrant. So we might as well be the opposite, just like everything else. Cause you know, we just went with that. And it was just really cool to kind of do that. And I don't know, break barriers. Like I always say, having to deal with all the bullshit sucked, but.
Well, tell me about that too. I mean, I would say you guys are probably the most hated artist I have ever seen. And I, you know, I don't mean to be rude saying that, but I've never seen anything like that before or since.
We don't get it, man. Cause if you ever meet us, like we're the kindest, most chill stoner, like here's a shirt off our back. Cause we come from like Hispanic heritage and like we're taught to respect. And if you don't, your mom's going to swat you with your fucking littles, you know what I mean? Like little flip flop. But you know, so we always treated people like family, but people didn't, I guess they're not from our culture. So they didn't understand where we were coming from, but it's easy to hate something different, always.
You said you had a moment where it kind of got to you, and I'll tell you, it would definitely have fucking gotten to me, because even, you know, I get a lot of shitty comments on YouTube, and it gets to me sometimes, and you guys got 100 times what I ever have.
Yeah, man, like I said, we never understood why, but we just can laugh it off and bless those people with positive vibes. I mean, like, it's cool to hate Broken Side at the same time. It's like, because I know for a fucking fact those numbers that we learned to see are like people that are saying, I fucking hate you, I hope you die, you little rapist, you fucking crazy, obnoxious shit. They turn it off and then go listen to Broken Side. That's the most fucking redundant thing ever. But at the same time, thank you. Because they were a piece of this whole weird Broken Side thing that worked.
I mean, it's true when, you know, like people say, haters made me famous. And it's true. I'd probably rather get famous another way. But it is true.
It sucked being pushed also, you know, people, the most hated band, they couldn't, you know, be pushed as, you know, groundbreaking, you know, odd, you know, different music, you know, it was always pushed as the most hated band. And we never understood that, but we were just going so fast that we really just didn't have time to, you know, and we didn't want to fight over that because a lot of these people that were talking shit at the time, musicians wise, we were like looking up to, like, we were like, holy shit. And then at the same time, there's just normal people like us, like talking shit on us. And we're like, well, what the fuck? We're just trying to make music and make you happy. Like, life sucks. Let's go to shows. Music makes us happy. So we were just trying to come from the heart of music.
How did that happen? I mean, where did the idea of combining the things that you did come from? Because, I mean, especially like a song like Schizo in 2007, absolutely nobody was doing anything like that back then.
No, not at all. It was just, like I said, we wanted to be different because we understood that, you know, because I liked R&B, kind of like singing, kind of like rap stuff. And Seven was also into, you know, very underground hip hop. That's where he came from. So he kind of, you know, transitioned into what we kind of formed. But, you know, Fat Jay and Ants came in as well. But it was just different. I'm a little stoned on that question. So...
No, it's all good. Just wondering where the idea came from to combine, I guess, basically like screaming and rap.
To go back, it's just the MySpace, to answer your question. MySpace was kind of big and, you know, Hawthorne Heights, Atreyu, all that screaming stuff. Because when Broken Side first started off, it was more emo, screamo rap. You know what I mean? It wasn't really the whole pop, you know what I mean? The whole plethora of what we are. It was just more what it is now in a weird way, you know, like SoundCloud rap shit, you know, like respect it, but it's just kind of like you asked earlier, it's like, fuck yeah, but then like, what the fuck?
Like, if anybody hasn't listened to it, go listen to the really early Broken Side stuff, like before Freaks, like listen to the really, really early stuff that, like you said, is more emo. And it is like, it's scary how similar that is to a lot of like SoundCloud rap in the last 5 years.
Yeah, it's wild. And people shit on us, like you said, forever. But, you know, whatever. We just kept on trucking and doing what we liked and what we thought people were enjoying. So whatever.
And you guys have been doing it now for, I guess, probably about 15 years.
Yeah, it's crazy to think about. It's really wild.
I mean, I definitely, to be honest with you, I would have definitely given up when you guys didn't. I would just be like, okay, everyone hates, I mean, not, well, that's not true, because it's not true to say everyone hated it, because a lot of people really liked it, and they liked it for a reason, because those songs were good.
They were great. And like I was saying earlier, like the haters, they weren't really haters. They were just hating because it was cool, but they were fucking listening.
They were.
Because you know the songs. How the fuck you saying these goddamn words if like you hate my music?
Yeah. And those songs had, you know, a million plays back when that was a huge number.
Dude, yeah, like even on MySpace days, we were getting like a million plus plays a day when it was like really popping, and we were like, whoa, this is like, what's going on here? We were just making music, but people believed in it. And just like you said, numbers today with a million then would probably be like, I have no idea, 10 million fucking,
right, yeah,
some shit.
Yeah. Well, what kept you guys going that whole time? I mean, it's, I guess you and Seven really have been the two consistent members. What's kept you guys going that whole time?
Just the love for music, I guess. And just like seeing how, because like we were always different and like not the cool people. So we knew what it was like, and we just made what we thought was cool. And I guess maybe that's what attached to people's hearts was, you know, it's okay to be cool, because that's what we've always preached. Don't follow anything, be yourself, and that's okay. Be happy.
How much of a role do you think being from Albuquerque played? Because I feel like a lot of times innovative stuff comes from out of the way places like that.
Yeah, there's just talent everywhere. That's the crazy thing. And the, you know, the X factor was MySpace, but coming from Albuquerque, it's fucking hard. If you've ever been to Albuquerque, or you know New Mexico, which is part of the United States, yes, people, for those people that don't know.
Are there people that don't understand that?
Yeah, it's kind of hard because here there's not much, so everybody's stepping on each other to make it instead of working together, you know what I mean? So it was hard to just do it all on our own, but at the same time, it was cool because we paved the way, like I said.
Yeah, and I mean, you guys could have left Albuquerque at any time, but you've stayed there the whole time, right?
Yeah, we've just, like I said, born and raised. Like, we were, I guess, kind of offered a reality show in LA, and things were kind of being in the works, but we were just like, nah, it's like Albuquerque. We love the red chili, I guess. Yeah, and the mountains and our river right in our city. It's pretty beautiful here, actually.
Now, what were you saying about a reality show? What was that all about?
It was during the Warped Tour show, I guess. While we were filming the Booty Call video, there was some, I don't know, people checking it out, you know, because they were talks about, they wanted to film us recording our first album and, you know, the chaos with reality shows.
Right.
It just didn't work, but that just speaks words, I guess.
Yeah.
It was kind of weird, but I'm glad it didn't work out at the same time. Who knows what would have happened?
I mean, they weren't going to try to make you look good, that's for sure.
Yeah, definitely not, because we like to party in a totally fun way, you know what I mean? And wow, I know TV, just from that one MTV like experience, whoa, TV is freaking weird.
Yeah, tell me about that. How did you guys end up being on TRL?
Just because of our following, I guess. I guess, you know, people believed in us and they were seeing that this is actually real, although people didn't like it or understand it yet, I guess is the word. There were the young people that are now grown adults that hopefully, you know, definitely follow the podcast. They believed in us and pushed it forward. And those, like I said, those million plays a day on MySpace, that said a lot. So I guess, you know, TRL or MTV got in touch with our manager at the time, and then they worked it out. And like I said, we were in Florida recording that video, and then our van broke down, and I was like, oh man, what a time. And then my manager called me right as we broke down, and he's like, yes, sir, you're gonna be on MTV. I was like, cool, oh, we ain't gonna make it, our van just broke down. And then some random angel guy just helped us overnight, next morning bought us a part and sent us on our way. It was pretty wild. So, you know, for all the good and all the bullshit that we put up with, there was a lot of great people that we met along the way. So we're thankful.
So what was being on TRL like? You said it was pretty wild.
Yeah, because we're used to our lyrics, you know, it's just like out there, like we don't give a fuck, like, you know. So when we had to take out so many different words, like last minute, it was just so odd. And just, you know, as weird as it was, like, our music caught on and the crowd live kind of just started jumping and enjoying it, you know, naturally. But they have people, you know, jump, 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 telling people to, you know, jump and make noise and this and that. And this whole entertainment world is pretty wild when you get into it.
Yeah. So I'm just curious how that works. Like, will you show up and like, do you go to like the front desk, or who do you, like, how does that work?
Yeah, it was weird. We were in one of our vans, I don't know if it's breaking down yet, but I think it was our yellow van. We named it the yellow bus because we were always drinking. We had dressing rooms, but we'd always party in it. But yeah, we parked the yellow bus down the road, and man, that was a headache just trying to find parking.
Yeah.
And then we had our Fat Jay, who was in the band, carrying his big keyboard, and we're walking down a couple blocks, and then we see this random building, and we go in and then have to pass some clearance.
You're like, hey, we're supposed to be on TRL.
Yeah, we're carrying the pig head and carrying the pig head as well, you know, for Brie.
Yeah.
You put him on TV as well. So that looked a little odd, but it's New York, so part right. of time. But we made it. And then they just told us last minute, all right, you can't say this word, this word, this word. And then they asked us a few questions they were going to ask, how to answer them in a way. And then we just, you know, they kind of told us where to stand. And then 1, 2, 3, go. We're live.
That's wild. So no real, like, rehearsal or like preparation, really just go
pretty much like a show, you know what I mean? You just go.
Yeah, except that you have to change the lyrics at the last minute, and you guys have like done those songs thousands of times.
Yep, exactly. So it was different, but it was really, really fun. So it was a good experience, and I'm thankful for every, you know, person that was involved and helped get us there and helped our career and believed in us.
Were the fans that were there just like whatever random people MTV brought, or were they your people? I haven't watched that in a long time.
Yeah, I have no idea how it worked. I just know people stood in a line and they had to let them in. And just like, I don't know, like I was saying, it's just really weird. TV's weird.
Yeah.
It's really weird.
I imagine. I've never had anything to do with it.
It's not like real, but it's real. But it's not real. It's like different.
And then you did Warped Tour. Was it 2009?
Yeah, luckily we had that whole, I like to think of it as like the whole MySpace fucking rebel era. We're on a bus with millionaires, Jeffrey, Jeffrey was on there.
Yeah.
There was Skylit Drive, all the 303, you know, all those other cool MySpace bands. So it was really cool. And then being able to tour, you know, Breed Carolina, that whole MySpace kind of sound was really, really fun because we already were touring beforehand. So it just, you know, kind of kept going.
Yeah.
It was fun. Really cool. We learned a lot. It was really different. And then them putting us on the wrong stage was really cool. We had shit thrown at us all the time.
Oh, sure, dude. It's so funny how, you know, punks are some of the most like intolerant, uptight people you'll ever meet. It's so ironic.
It's weird, man. They're like so like, we almost got in so many, you know, not many, but I guess many fights on Warped Tour. It's people just talking shit. And it's just like, what the fuck, man? I just smoke some weed and take a shot. Like, what are you doing? This is music. You know what I mean? Did I screw you out of money? Like, chill the fuck out.
Because, you know, like you said, I've met you guys a few times over the years. You guys are nice, like, chill people.
Yeah, we like to party, but who doesn't? I mean, hey. But yeah, we're really nice, chill people. But people just paint their own picture. And a lot of people get to believe it. But it's whatever.
You know, now that you mention it, all those bands, like, you know, 303, Breathe Carolina, Millionaires, like you were saying there, that definitely was an interesting little moment in the scene. And I feel like there isn't really anything going on now in the Warped Tour kind of world that's fun like that.
No, not at all.
And I kind of feel like
I always push for it. Broken Side is always trying to push for it. The people that believe, go for it and push for it.
And I feel like that's kind of missing. And And that might be part of the reason why that scene isn't as popular as it used to be, because people like to have fun and there's not a lot of fun going on there anymore.
Not at all. I mean, like, we respect Warped Tour for the 1 year we got on. And before that, when we, you know, we learned what it was, we respected it. But yeah, like you said, it's just like very monotonous, and we get it. We get numbers. But like, I'm sure they saw like a really cool new increase in like audience when they put, you know, something new out there.
And it's interesting how some of the people you mentioned, well, everybody that you mentioned in that sentence is still around, which is interesting. And some of them have become huge. I mean, Jeffrey obviously is gigantic. 303 ended up getting huge after that. Breathe Carolina are like huge EDM artists now. So even though people, and you know, and Hollywood Undead, which wasn't part of it, but kind of part of that, you know, they ended up having a bunch of like Billboard top 10 albums. So as much as people turned up their nose at that stuff, it was actually really popular.
Yeah. Even when we toured with Hollywood Undead, it was a really good thing. People loved the idea. You know, we were, you know, not liked, but I know we were pulling goddamn numbers, and it was a really fun show because it was, you know, rock, 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 and then Broken Side, party, party, party. And, you know, that was a fun time.
I saw that tour, and that was like before I kind of understood Broken Side.
So you kind of get what I'm saying in a way.
Oh, yeah. I was like, what the fuck is this? Like, you had the fog machine?
Yeah, we had kind of had like, we brought our own live shows.
Yeah, and the lights.
Our lights, but like, we wanted to bring a whole something new show for everything from sound to visuals, you know. Breathe did it, and then, you know, we were like, wow, that's really cool. And we were also doing it, so we're like, maybe we're doing something right. You know, all those lights, it made the show.
It totally did. Like, yeah. I remember just kind of not really knowing what to expect, and the lights and the fog came, and you were playing, what's the song, the 5-6 Suck on My Dick?
A Schizo Broken.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I was like, what in the fuck is this?
Yeah, we thought it was really cool, and we knew it was different, and people would dig it.
Yeah. So after that, you guys ended up, you're on Subnoise for a while.
Yeah, they were really good. Really good label to us. They treated us pretty good.
How long were you on Subnoise for?
We were on there for a while. I think we worked like 2 or 3 albums with them, something. Yeah. We were able to work with, you know, E40, Paul Wall, Trey Nice, Cottonmouth Kings, a lot of really cool artists. And we were, you know, stoked because, oh my God, legendary E40.
Totally. And Paul Wall, yeah.
So it's kind of cool to see, you know, we like to call ourselves the originators. So, you know, legendaries with originators crossing, we thought was really, really cool because, you know, where we come from, like I said way earlier, like, yeah, right. That would never happen.
Totally.
Welcome to us talking about our podcast for a minute.
What's the name of that podcast?
That's Axe to Grind. And right now you're going to be getting a little taste of it, right down to the shaky microphone and all.
And my name's Bob.
And my name's Patrick, and usually we're joined by Tom.
Tom's the best. Tom has a real grown-up job that requires him to be at work, but we talk about decidedly not-so-grown-up things like...
hardcore music and things that people that like hardcore music tend to like.
So that could be the latest shows, revisiting classic material, talking about the new classics... all the little dorm room nonsense that you imagine from a niche music podcast that you either love, want to love, or hate.
Yeah, imagine all the emotions that you have towards a genre that has impacted your life, and then condense them down to 1 to 2 hours a week.
So triangulate your speakers, think about jumping off the bed, singing along, dancing like an idiot, and listen to Axe to Grind podcast.
Hey, this is Chris Swinney, formerly of the Ataris and currently host of That One Time on Tour, part of the Sound Talent Media Podcast Network. Have you ever wondered what it's really like on the road? The highs can be euphoric, but the lows can be crushing. Join me every week as I chat with industry pros about what it's like living out their wildest dream and, in some cases, their worst nightmare. Past guests of the show include members of NoFX, Pennywise, Bad Religion, and more. Listen and subscribe at soundtalentmedia.com.
But first, I want to thank DistroKid for sponsoring this episode of the podcast. If you're not familiar, DistroKid is a digital music distribution service that musicians use to put their music into online stores and streaming services. So in plain language, if you have ever wondered how to get your music on iTunes, Spotify, Apple Music, YouTube Music, Amazon, Deezer, Tidal, and many, many more, there's like dozens and dozens of different streaming services, DistroKid is the way to do it. It is super easy. I have used it to put my music on Spotify. It took me maybe 5 minutes to like set it up and upload everything. It's legitimately awesome. I am sincerely a fan of this company and their product. And for those of you who have asked, you can also upload your music to TikTok with DistroKid. And if you want a chance to get featured on DistroKid's Spotify playlists, you can do that by submitting a song through Spotlight and getting your fans to vote for you. You can also use Hyperfollow to get more Spotify followers. You can promote your new release as well as Spotify Canvas. That's where there's the video in the background in the player. And when you share it on Instagram, it shares that video too to make your Spotify release pop. And Spotify Canvas is available to all DistroKid artists. Like I said, as you can probably tell from this, like I am sincerely a fan of DistroKid. DistroKid can do everything I just talked about and so much more. So be sure to sign up with my link, which is in the show notes for this episode, to get 7% off your first year. That link is in the show notes of this episode, or go to distrokid.com/VIP/thepunkrockNBA. And thanks again to DistroKid for sponsoring this episode. And how did you feel you fit into that world, the Cottonmouth Kings kind of scene?
We didn't get to really test waters too much in it because honestly, we were always headlining all of our own shows, which made things difficult for us to grow in a way.
Mm-hmm.
We were always either headlining or just a stepping stone for somebody to kind of move forward. And that really fucked us over. But like it was really cool to work with Hollywood Undead and go on that larger tour because we didn't have to necessarily pull all the weight and we got to gain a lot of new fans. So festivals and tours like that were really cool, but everything was a cool learning experience and we got to meet really cool people and fans, and people tend to forget that fans are the number one. So we always try to keep our fans like our number ones. Like without fans, we ain't nobody.
I think that's a really important point, and something Melissa said in that podcast really helped me because I've been getting pretty irritated lately with just dipshit commenter types. And she said, I'll respond to every positive comment before you ever respond to a negative one. And just like you're saying, you know, the fans matter, and you guys had a huge number of fans. And yes, there were some people who talk shit, but it's very easy to lose sight of the fact that there's hundreds of thousands or millions of people that like what you're doing.
Yeah, exactly. Like people don't talk about that. It's just like, you know, they just, like I say, they paint their own picture and like they hear all the bad because negative is cool. But like, we're not about that. We're about positive vibes and moving forward because that's momentum of life. Like if you ain't being positive with the light, like you're in darkness and shit don't work. And that's the way we think with stuff. So just like Melissa said, just always push forward because those people are fans anyway. They're just trying to A, get a comment off you first, and it doesn't matter. And plus, shit, thank you for the comment, motherfucker.
You're right that people talk shit just because they want you to reply.
Yeah, it's cool to hate something. And like, we've never been bullies. We fucking hate bullies. Like, it's bullshit. So like, it's just a bully tactic in a way, and we don't respect that.
That's right. Well, it's interesting that, you know, with both you and Millionaires and a lot of these other artists, but I would say both of you guys who got a lot of hate, I've never heard a single bad thing about Melissa or Allison. I've never heard anybody say a bad thing about you guys personally that's like ever like met you. You know, it's an interesting thing that like who you are as a person just kind of doesn't really matter.
Nope. And man, the things people say, like they've wished death upon us and made fake TMZ things, and that hurts your business, which is like also your music. And like when that hurts business, that's less for fans, and that's not cool. Just because people ain't believing in something yet or understanding it yet, that's not fair. That's bullying, and fuck those people.
Bullying is definitely not cool, and it does hurt people.
Yeah, it hurts business, it hurts people's feelings, and it changes a lot of dynamics of things. So you know, positive vibes, everybody.
So speaking of fans and positive vibes, once you guys kind of started doing the crunk core thing, and did you guys come up with that term, or where did that come from?
I mean, like, I don't want to say I did, but like, as I'll say, Brokenside did, I guess.
Maybe you did. Yeah.
We were trying to, you know, always trying to make new trends because we didn't want to be, you know, well, they're a mix of, you know, rap and screamo and pop. No, we're fucking crunkcore. We're a mix of all music. Like, don't label us.
So once you guys started doing that, you definitely saw some people pick up on that. Like, once you sort of made people aware that it was possible to do this, there were definitely other people around the country doing it.
Yeah, it's really cool. You know, like, shout out to Dot Dot Curve and Pop Lock and Drop It. And, you know, all them people that people don't really realize that were also along with the movement.
Yeah, I was curious, like, how close you were with those guys. And weirdly, like, Evansville, Indiana seemed to have a lot of that stuff going on, of all places.
Yeah, man, that was a cool place. We loved Indiana, especially Evansville. The kids that showed up for kids, people, parents, adults, everybody that showed up to our sold out shows it was wild because we're in fucking, I didn't even know Evansville, Indiana existed.
Yeah.
We were thankful and blown, like, wow. So it was cool. Met a lot of cool friends out there in Indiana, actually.
Do you still talk to any of those guys?
Yeah. For the real people, you know, the business is really fake, but for the real ones, you know, it's really cool to see them stick around and, you know, see that they get married, they have kids, you know, and it's cool because we kind of grow. Life is really short.
Yeah. Well, you guys are grown-ups now, you know, seven. Do you have kids?
No, no kids.
But,
no.
But seven has at least one, right?
Yeah, he has two.
Two now. Okay. And how does that change things? I mean, obviously you can't speak for him, but just being an adult, I guess.
Yeah. You know, like we named before our last, you know, we dropped an album called All Grown Up. And we were, you know, trying to make reference that, you know, we could still make music, but it's all about growing up too. And like, because he has children, but, you know, we're not able to make music saying, you make my pee-pee hard because right. We're grown up. But yeah. We can still make them bangers that are saying the same thing.
Well, speaking of those lyrics, I think a lot of people maybe thought that you guys were just total idiots and that stuff was serious. But I mean, you guys were having fun with that stuff.
It's music. Like, music is art. So, like, fuck you if you're judging me. And second of all, like, I know you're laughing and you like that.
Well, I mean, I don't think people realize that some of that stuff was a joke.
Yeah, we were just trying to be witty. Like, music is witty. We're like in the rap game too. People don't understand, like, in the rap game, you got to be fucking witty with lines.
Right.
You can't just make rock music or screamo music. You know what I mean? Like, it's a whole nother, like, dynamic that people don't stop and think about. So, you know, we're trying to make people laugh with the dynamic of rap, but adding the screaming on top of the singing. And
speaking of your latest album, the one from 2018, you guys kind of switched it up on that one and went a lot more kind of trap. And I listened to that one and it sounds so current.
Yeah.
Because it's like your vocal styles, I'd say, were always really similar to what is happening now, but you just had a different style of production. Now the production is like the more trap style.
Yeah, it's just the beat pattern and just the sounds now, and people get it. So they were able, I'm not saying they could build off of what we did, but in a way, yeah, because, like, I don't know. But we were also just showing, like, look, we did this 10 fucking years ago, but here's a new version. Like, you don't want to, you know, accept that we're like these Suicide Boys, all these people, like, check this shit out. Like, we'll bang this out for you people.
If you haven't heard it, listen to it.
We're not trying to follow trends. We're just trying to show that we're able to do anything.
Well, I mean, you're not following the trend because you created it.
Exactly. So it's weird to say, but I say it, so fuck it.
I mean, you guys are humble, just like Melissa is, but at the same time, I think, you know, not to say that nobody else has, other people have innovated too, but I mean, I think it's, you know, okay to take credit for what you've done.
Yeah, and I haven't dealt with, like, what Brokenside has had to deal with. I know not any band, minus ICP and probably Nickelback. You know what I mean? Like,
those are the only two that can maybe compete with you.
But, you know, if you really give our music a chance, you know, especially the newer, older stuff that we're doing, you know, like, you'll see it's still the same thing, especially if you're liking the new age music, then you're just tripping. You're just being a hater. You still like.
So tell me, who have you heard from, like, the younger generation? I know, like, Lil Aaron, you know, gave you guys some recognition in an interview recently. Who else have you heard from that's, like, told you guys that you're an influence?
Shout out to, like, Horsehead, And, you know, we met Ghostmane. He kind of gave a shout out, but not really, you know, so respect. But we got to meet him, and they're really cool people, really just, you know, doing their thing. Like when we saw them, we were like, damn, me and my brother were just thinking when we left, they're like, damn, we were doing that same shit, like mad props. That's so tight. So it's cool to see that. And, you know, but mad shout out to Little Aaron, because he's only like one of the real cats in Philip Solo as well. He's out in Canada. He's a really cool cat, but those two cats have really been cool with us and, you know, worked with us. So respect to them too.
Yeah. Aaron's a good guy. I like him. Very, very, very talented songwriter too.
Dude, he knows music. So if you guys have not heard Little Aaron, which I know you have, check Little Aaron out.
Yeah. If you haven't. So do you plan on, you know, doing Broken Side forever, or do you have like a goal for this, or where do you see things going in the future?
Well, we all do solo music, but with Seven working and, you know, his kids and personal life, we're always doing music, but it's just kind of not as easy. And like touring is really different now. It's not like the way it used to be by any means whatsoever. Like we were booking shit. Like we were talking with promoters, you know, at the beginning, even behind the scenes, you know, like everything still we had to deal with and kind of yes or no and give it, you know, deal with it.
So you were doing like, you're booking that stuff on MySpace back in the day?
Yep. Sev would book a lot of the shows and we would reach out to people and just make it work. And here locally, we would print flyers and get open mic nights and get it out there.
You have an agent or something now that just says, here's the tour?
Yeah. You know, when we have an agent and all that stuff, we've just been kind of, like Melissa was saying, just on a hiatus. We're not done or anything. Just like we always said back in 05, Broken Side will never die. Fact. You know, like even if we do die, we're in history. I know we've changed pop culture. I know we've changed music. I know we've changed a lot of things, whether people want to respect it. And if they do respect it, we love you guys. Thank you. Because it's been rad. But the end game, I don't know, man. We didn't start with one. We just knew we wanted to make music. We just care about music. I'm in my 30s, 35. I don't know. But I don't really think about like my age. I just think about music. So whatever happens, happens. Even if we have nobody listening, it's still, we're going to be making music.
Well, I mean, I think that's the reason why you guys have done what you have is because you're doing it for yourselves, not for external validation.
No, for, you know, when you kind of get in that entertainment world, you do it for a moment, but then you got to, you know, self-realize like we're doing it wrong. And then you kind of curve around and realize you got to do it for yourselves again. And that's when the magic happens. And luckily, we've been able to, you know, keep doing that, just having, you know, the bangers that people do enjoy.
Was there a moment where you felt like you had kind of lost sight of that and were doing things you felt like you were supposed to do?
It was just hard because not really, not on the music sense, but then when business gets entwined, it's a little weird because we had one label and then we had another label that we were checking out in New York and they were like so ready to do things. And I don't know what happened, but I know if we would have went that road and it happened, I know it would have been way huger. Because that would have meant from like some suburban to a major label for sure.
Do you think that would have been a good thing or bad thing or who knows?
It would have been cool to have Broken Side on the large scale that we knew it should have been and could have been. Because I know it would have exposed the world to something cool and something new, I guess. I don't know. Like, because we didn't just also make music. We kind of preached the lifestyle of just being yourselves and be happy and don't let bullies, you know what I mean? Like we were just different because we were like the bullied kids at one point.
It's interesting that you would say that, you know, you preach a lifestyle of being happy because that's one thing I noticed about your fans back then, you know, me being older than, you know, pretty much all of them is they were like really fun. Like all the kids that were into that whole scene, the crunkcore scene were like, you know, happy, fun, nice people.
Yeah. Like, because that's what we want in this world, right? I think because there's enough negative, but if we turn that light around, it's going to be really like, just like Broken Side, bright, you know, out there, just be yourself. And that's okay. Because a lot more beautiful things happen when you're yourself. And I guess more opportunities happen for everybody.
There's been a lot of times in my life where I did kind of what I thought other people wanted me to do, or I was kind of doing what I thought I was supposed to do. And it just kind of never really worked. And then every time I've said, you know what, fuck it, this is just who I am, I'm going to be myself, let the chips roll the way they may, is always when like the biggest opportunities have come my way.
Absolutely. You know, you just got to align the stars and, you know, look, we're crossing paths, you know, Broken Side, and now your awesome podcast. So that's really cool. It's just when you do good, good things happen.
Yeah, well, the work hard part is definitely important. And for anybody who maybe doesn't understand that, can you talk about like all the grinding that you guys, I mean, still do, but especially when you're kind of making it happen back in the MySpace days, can you talk about what you guys were doing to make it happen?
Man, we were just living in a van, like getting hotels, you know, just we were very grateful to get hotel rooms, but we're still the majority, 98% in the van because we would tour and we did one run for like 9 months straight at one point when we first started. Like,
oh, damn.
I don't know. And there's like, that's a long time to not be really home. We would cross home for like a couple hours for our show and bounce. Leaving home was really different and we were really young too. So it was like a big change to just get up and go and live out of a van and learn how to eat at certain times and, you know, check into hotels. And it was different then because there was no like apps. So it was like, we were kind of on looking on maps. Right. 05, we didn't have cell phones with GPS. So that's how we started. We got a US map and we were in our van that we bought for $1,000 and we just hit the road.
Yeah.
Just grinded it out and figured it out, young guys, and made it happen. McDonald's, Taco Bell, not much sleep. I mean, you know, get up in the morning, we'd get free breakfast, try to be at the venue by, you know, one or two, set up because we had our lighting, and then we'd hang out from like maybe one to like one in the morning every single day and then either drive or just stay the night if we could. It's like a lot of going and not stopping.
Yeah, which is super cool. Like what I think people don't understand is that's a really fun night to be a fan, but to do that every day for weeks or months in a row, not saying that it isn't cool and fun for you guys because it is, but it's also hard.
Oh, it's very draining. You know, you blow your throat, your body's aching, you just miss home, you don't know what's going on, you know, you have bills. It's just, it's a whole whirlwind of things going on. But at the end of the day, just seeing our fans happy and getting to meet them and get the word out there, Broken Side, was really, 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 really worth it.
Two last things I wanted to ask you about. One was, you guys played the Gathering of the Juggalos a while ago, right?
Oh God, that was freaking cool. But oh God, that was an eye opener. What like probably Woodstock was in the 70s. It was wild. Oh my God.
I've just seen videos of it. Is it as wild as it looks in the videos?
Oh, fuck yes. It's crazy, man. You just see boobs everywhere. You see people on the floor fucked up. You just see really happy people. But at the same time, it's kind of like the same thing of like, fuck it, be yourself. I don't give a fuck. Yeah. Believe in yourself and be yourself.
Well, you know, if Michael from Broken Side is telling you that it's crazy, that it's fucking crazy.
Yeah, man. Like, wow. It was crazy. But we're very grateful to have touched, you know, based on the Gathering and the Juggalos. They were really receptive. And I guess they like Broken Side. So that was cool. Shout out to the Juggalos. Whoop, whoop.
You know, Juggalos are really nice people for the most part.
They are. But they're just misunderstood because people make judgments quickly. Because, you know, if you're tattooed and different, you're a fucking loser. But in reality, put a suit on, you're like the millionaire. So fuck you.
Yeah. And I'm happy that you guys are able to connect with it because it seems like a community that would understand you guys more than other people might.
Yeah, it was really cool. And I'm, you know, it's I used to be a Juggalo fan. And then it's crazy to finally played that festival.
Yeah. Well, last question, just to get to know Michael a little bit better. What do you do with yourself aside from Broken Side? Like, what are you into aside from music and stuff?
I like to game. I love gaming. I love Legend of Zelda. I love movies. I'm a total nerd. I'm a hermit, actually, minus nature. I love rock climbing. I love positivity. I love just growing. I love family more than anything, honestly. That made us really good people and solid people. So we're very thankful for our family.
What's your favorite Zelda game?
Man, Ocarina of Time, definitely. But then Raiden Tenmin is like the Link to the Past on NES.
Link to the Past is my favorite.
Yep. I have a whole sleeve of Zelda. Like I dedicated my body to it. So
what did you think of Breath of the Wild?
Dude, it's a 10 out of 10, but I haven't even got far because it's so GTA. I just collect flowers and stuff all day. Like I don't even know how to like... My God, you know, but I love it. But I heard, you know, Breath of the Wild 2's on the way. So I better get that on, especially with this virus going on. And everybody be safe. Much love. Wash your hands. Sanitize.
Right on. Cool. I've taken up enough of your time, so I'll let you go. Anything else that you want to add before we sign off?
Nothing. Just check out our new album, Zero to Broken Side. We have some new videos on Broken Side TV. Add us on Instagram, The Real Broken Side, I believe. And be sure to add your podcast, because it was fucking awesome spending time with you, man, during this time. Thank you.
Right on. Appreciate it. And if you guys ever come through Seattle, definitely let me know.
Yeah, absolutely. We'll party up, man.
Cool. All right, my friends, that does it for this episode of the podcast. If you made it this far, thank you. Thank you for listening. We sincerely appreciate each and every one of you. If you want to help the show, there's a couple things that you can do. First of all, share it on social media. If you share it, tag us, tag Finn McKenty, that's me, and tag Deanna Chapman, that's a producer. Second thing you can do, if you really, really, really love us and really want to support us, you can support us on Patreon. There's a link to that in the show notes. You can leave a review on Apple Podcasts or wherever else you're listening to this, or you can do none of that. And you can just sit at home, think about how awesome this podcast is. That works too. Again, thank you very much to each and every one of you for listening. We sincerely appreciate it, and we'll see you next time.
Hello, everybody. I'm Bruce.
And I'm Nolan, and this is the Corner of Gray Street podcast. As longtime Dave Matthews Band fans, we set out to create a podcast to dive deep into the past, present, and future of DMB.
Not only do we recap and review shows within an ongoing tour, but we revisit past shows from throughout the band's history, conduct interviews with a wide variety of guests with ties to DMB, and create unique and exclusive content like our Concerts on the Corner series.
Whether you're a fan of the band or just a fan of great music, we think you'll find something you'll enjoy. We can't wait to see you on the Corner of Gray Street.
Well, hey friends, my name is Zach Lupitin. You may know me from the band Dust Bowl Revival, but I also host a music discovery podcast called The Show on the Road. For the last 5 seasons, I've been able to dive deep and have intimate chats with folks like The Lumineers, Andy DeFranco, Wolfpack, Keb Moe, Lake Street Dive, Bela Fleck, and more. So guess what? After 150 conversations with some of my favorite songwriters from around the world, we are bringing brand new episodes to the Osiris Network. New interviews and intimate acoustic performances will be coming at you this summer. And which episodes are coming next, you ask?
I am Zach Goody, the lead singer for the band Smash Mouth.
Our band is called Milky Chance. We are based in Berlin.
My name is David Shaw. I sing and write songs with my band, The Revivalists.
Trust me, these conversations go some wild places. So subscribe to The Show on the Road on Osiris, and we'll see you soon. Again.